You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball.
One ball!
The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores,
scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the League Podcast with William Hill, Alex Dunn and Pete Farries here to preview the televised games this weekend. No Championship action, of course, because it is the pesky international break getting in the way of our lovely league football. But as we always say on these international weeks, it is a chance for the League One clubs to shine, if you like, and League Two. But we've got three televised games on League One. In League One, even. Good start to the podcast, Alex, that we're going to focus on in just a few moments. The Championship goes, I forget how to speak. Hello, Pete Farries, please save me.
I will save you, but I won't do it with a positive sentiment. I'll do it with the fact that international break's here. Mm. And it's not something that I hugely enjoy. However, there will be all the League One, all the League Two, so there's no excuse for there not being any value knocking around in the UK domestic action. I know that Gav and Al have looked at their favourite bets this weekend, but there's some good ones in the TV game. One especially that I think is an absolute corker, I've got to say.
OK, we'll get to those shortly. There's one on Saturday and two on Sunday. As you mentioned, Gav and Al will be focusing on the rest of League One and Two, the untelevised games. They're coming along at the end of the podcast. Hopefully they can point in the direction of a few winners. And it's also a chance for you, Pete, to broaden your horizons a little, because we always make you look at the Championship. And now a bit of a change of tack for you. And some of these televised games are really intriguing, and, well, two of them feature sides that obviously we know a lot about from the Championship last season.
And one side of these three teams that I covered for 3 years and have a bit of an affinity for. So it's certainly a game that I know a huge amount about, Chesterfield against Sheffield United. I've covered four of them, commentated on four of those games as well. You're right. It's a little chance for me to dig a little bit deeper. I mean, I do have a League One, a League Two, a Championship and a Premier League acca every week, along with a general Saturday acca of what I think are the best bets. But yeah, like I said earlier on, there is some great value. And this Swindon-Charlton game we're going to start with is one of the trickier ones, I think, actually. It's probably the hardest of the three, actually.
OK, we will start there. Swindon are 23-10. The draw is 23-10. And Charlton in the betting at 6-5 for this noon kickoff on Saturday. Swindon, who, well, as I record this on Thursday afternoon, have just appointed Tim Sherwood as their new director of football. Be interested to see the role that he can play there. In terms of Swindon on the pitch, not a great season so far. They are just in the relegation zone on goal difference, sitting in 21st. Charlton in 14th. Charlton, who've come down from the Championship after a pretty sorry season, they've only lost three times in their 15 games to date. They are the draw specialists of the Championship, though, with eight draws from their 15 games. And this is another game that you can kind of see turning into a draw. Swindon are not, they're not good at all at the minute, but on their day they are capable. I still wasn't convinced with Charlton at 6-5 here, but as you said, it is a really, really tricky one to call, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I have gone with Charlton in the end, but you're absolutely right in what you say. Them and Bradford have both drawn eight games this season. That's the joint individual most for teams this season. They've drawn the last five away from home, but the first bet is that both teams to score is 7-10. Because while Charlton have been drawing, four of the last five games have been both teams to score and a draw. The one that wasn't was, to be fair, a very good, and is a very good, 0-0 draw at Glanford Park. For Swindon, yeah, you know, they scored against Bristol Rovers, they scored against Northampton, they scored in their 3-0 win over Rochdale, but admittedly not against the talented Bolton side or against Walsall. But I think that 7-10 is it's a nice place to start. But it came down to one thing. A team that doesn't really win but doesn't really lose against a side that loses a lot, especially, as you've said, at home. I mean, they won their opening two home games, beat Coventry and Port Vale, but then, you know, only beaten Rochdale at home since then. They're a side whose general form is not great, apart from that Rochdale win and a draw at Wimbledon. They've lost to Bolton, they've lost to Walsall, they were battered by Scunny, of course, 4-1. And they're just not a side that really I want to be backing. But then the trade has been a bit... Do you think the trade has been a bit stingy here with this 6-5? Because I think they have been.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that if you were able to get it at...
8-5.
Yeah, 13-8, something like that. Then you kind of go, oh, okay, then interested. 6-5, you look across the rest of League One, League Two, and indeed the international games this week, and you go, well, hang on, I could probably find a much better 6-5 for a home side that are solid at home against an okay-ish, you know, away side. I just... It really doesn't make me want to back it at all. I was completely and utterly pushed towards the draw here as almost a last resort.
Well, the draw would make sense, wouldn't it? With the history of Charlton away games that we've spoken of, the history of Charlton games this season generally, that 23-10 would make a little bit of sense. Of course, Swindon in the FA Cup drew with Eastleigh, didn't they? Won all a game that, you know, to be fair, they should have won. They weren't awful in that game, but they still should have won it. And really, at the end of the day, do you want your 6-5? However, my problem is that I think that will happen. And I think it'll happen because Swindon's form is as such that Charlton's style of play, the solidity, the attempted ruthlessness that maybe they've been missing in these draws, but the solidity that Russell Slade's side offers, they are going to be able to get over the line, I think. It's just the 6-5 that just drills in my mind a little bit. So the both teams to score at 7-10, it is a definite play for me. That's my favourite bet in this entire game. But there are other real good ones as well. Lee Novak got the winner in Charlton's last game against his former club Chesterfield, of course. He's not been playing as much as he would like. He's had a few injury issues. But 9-5 any time, that 86-minute winner, I saw Lee Novak. He would go on runs. He would score a goal like that, and then he would be scoring goal, goal, goal. He'd disappear for a little while. Goal, 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 goal. Disappear for a little while. It's kind of how he did it. So 9-5 any time might be a play. I mean, on the other side of things, Michael Doty, of course, got a penalty the other day as part of the enhanced odds offers at the top of the game. He's 3-1 any time for Swindon. But this was a tough old match. So for me, whatever result you think it is, folks, whether it's Swindon at 5-1 with both teams, draw at 16-5 with both teams, Charlton at 16-5 with both teams, I think the important caveat is that you also include the both teams to score, Alex. So 16-5 Charlton to win and both teams to score would probably be my recommendation. But Swindon, it's just a tough old game, this one, in terms of the prices. But I think Charlton will probably do it.
OK, so Charlton just get the nod in that one. We'll move to Sunday's games then. We'll start with the 12:15 kickoff on Sunday. Peterborough against Bolton. Peterborough 9-5, the draw 5-2, and Bolton in the betting at 7-5. This has all the makings of a real cracker. Peterborough are good sides. Their home form that is normally really solid let them down against AFC Wimbledon last time. Their home form hasn't been quite so good in the last, well, year or so, really, but they're still a good side. Bolton have really bounced, having been relegated. They have done fantastic work through this season so far. They don't score many, but they do not let many goals in. And they're on a fantastic run at the minute. They're going to be so, so hard to beat here, and people are going to be so tempted with them at odds against here. But Peterborough will not take this lying down, and this could be a really, really, really good game.
I think it's going to be one of the games of the weekend, no question. Peterborough have really decent home form. Their side have lost just twice at home so far this season. They've lost to Bradford and they've lost to AFC Wimbledon. And that AFC Wimbledon win was last time out. The teams that they've had go there, though, is quite interesting. So they've had Millwall go there, who are 13th. They've had Swindon go there, who are at the moment in the bottom three. They've had Port Vale go there. Port Vale's quality tends to be at home. They've had Walsall, a mid-table side, go there and draw with them. They've had one of the worst form teams around at the moment in Bury go there. And then they've had one really good victory, to be fair to them, over Northampton. But barring that Northampton result, they've done okay against mid-table teams. They've now lost to 9th place AFC Wimbledon. And the last time a really good side went there, because Northampton are town are good, but Bradford, third in the league, are better. Bradford won. And that was a bit of an indicator for me in which way I wanted to go with this. Because when you consider that Bolton, yeah, they've been to Bury, Millwall and Swindon for their three back-to-back away wins. They're five games. They've beaten Oldham. You know, they've beaten Port Vale. They've beaten teams of a similar ilk. So you kind of go, well, hang on. What are they like when they play some of the league's better teams? Some of the league's bigger boys, if you will. The truth is that actually they've not come across a huge swathe of those guys so far. They beat Sheffield United, obviously first League One game of the season for them, but obviously Sheffield United were bad then, have improved. But from what I can tell, they haven't played Scunthorpe yet. They drew 0-0 with Bradford, And with teams like Bristol Rovers, for example, they managed to just about beat them 2-1. So it's quite interesting about Bolton's run at the moment. And as we approach Christmas, obviously that will completely happen because everyone will have turned over every team and played every team. But I went with Bolton here. Just hook, line and sinker, I went with Bolton at 7-5. It's kind of challenging, isn't it? Offer me 7-5 on this, and all of a sudden I'm kind of going, yeah, because people lost their last home game. You know, they lost their last home game. But for me, Bolton are a different kettle of fish to most teams, barring Bradford, who went there and won. Bolton are different to most teams who've been to London Road / the ABAX stadium so far this season. And for me, you are going hook, you are going line, and for me, you're going sinker on Bolton. 6-4 Zach Clough is a beauty. He's a player that, if you've played Football Manager over the last couple of years, you can get for cheap and has been absolutely blasting him in. But Zach Clough, you know, he's got 5 in his last 6. And the last time he was on TV, don't forget, he got a brace. He takes set pieces. He's a free kick taker. So this is a guy who's, you know, 6-4 anytime and in really good form. And if he can stay clear of injuries, it's injuries that have hurt Zach Clough's career, because he's a really, really talented player. He's a good finisher. I think, for me, that anytime goal scorer price is 6-4 is a beaut. And again, I've doubled them up. I've taken a score win cast of Zach Clough to score anytime and Bolton to win. You know, you could take Clough 2 or more like you did last time on telly, but that 14-5 for Clough and Bolton is nice. Bolton have won 5 games in a row. They've won 3 away games in a row. They're a very, very good side. And Peterborough have been inconsistent. Yes, they're very decent at home and deserve credit for that. But if you're offering me 7-5 on Bolton on Sunday, I've got to say, Alex, I'm taking it.
OK, so Bolton getting a nod in that one. The final game we're going to look at, the final televised game at least, of the weekend in League One is Chesterfield against Sheffield United. Chesterfield are 4-1, the draw 14-5, and Sheffield United are 4-6. Coming into this, Chesterfield sit in 23rd. They're on a torrid run of form and they're having a bit of a stinker of a season. The same can't be said for Sheffield United, who often, well, they're often a very short price to get promoted. They're often representing pretty little value in their League One games, but there may just be a feeling around Bramall Lane that they're just getting their act together now and that maybe this could be their year. They're 4-6 here. It is short, but it is short for a reason. You've got an out-of-form side against a very in-form side. Are you with Sheffield United here?
Yes, I am. I am. Chesterfield have got injuries out the wazoo. They keep conceding late, which is a point we'll get to in a second. They've won 2 back-to-back cup games, which is big for them. Hopefully there'll be big confidence boosts for them, but against Colchester, and then obviously a game in the Checker Trade Trophy, which I don't think anyone really are taking remotely seriously. They've struggled to score goals. I mean, as you say, they've gone, what, 8 without a win now in the league, but they've struggled to score. They've not scored in the last 5 league games. They've played some teams they would have liked to have been able to beat, and they've played some toughies as well. They've not been performing. The performances haven't been there. So ultimately, if you're offering me the price on Sheffield United at 4-6, I am thinking this is a game where, you know, there is big proximity, geographical proximity between these two sides. But Sheffield United are the team to be backing at 4-6. You know, the 2 games that I covered last season, Sheffield United were never even half touched by Chesterfield in those 2 games. It was a 5-0 aggregate victory over the 2 legs, 3-0 and 2-0, if you will. And also, Sheffield United's form is absolutely unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, they started the season really slowly. All the knives started to creep from behind the backs of people looking for Chris Wilder. And since then, they've absolutely battered everyone. They've won all but 3 league games since August the 20th. They've drawn the 3 that they didn't win. They are a terrifying side. I've got to say, I'm a little bit sorry to say, with my sort of soft heart for Chesterfield, that the Sheffield United will win this one comfortably. I believe 17-10 minus a goal would be one of the main plays. I certainly wouldn't be looking at both teams to score with Chesterfield's most recent run. You can play your 2-0, but I'm not a big fan of that. The match should be 2-0 at any point is there for you. Yes, it's 6-5. Landed in both head-to-heads last season. Sheffield United have been scoring an awful lot of goals. Billy Sharp's been in great goal-scoring form. He's even money anytime. He's got 5 in his last 4. 10 league goals this season. But that minus one was really where I landed with this game, because Chesterfield aren't showing enough, and they have got injuries. They've got a young, inexperienced squad. They've had to dip down to the likes of Christian Dennis and John Nolan from lower leagues. They have got a guy who can score goals. You know, Chet Evans has been working his way back into that starting 11, so he's there 9-5 any time. If you're looking for a goal scorer for Chesterfield, the best one is Jay O'Shea. He's still, for me, one of Chesterfield's very best players. He's 7-2 any time. He's got 2-2. He scored in both of the cup wins that they've had. But Alex, really, I mean, you're less attached to this than I am, I suppose, to a certain extent. And the form lines, the goal scorer lines, everything, you can't be with Chesterfield, can you, really?
No, it's almost too perfect for Sheffield United.
Yes, true, yes.
It's one of those ones that you look at, you just go, am I missing something? I'm not saying that they're a fantastic price, because they're not, but it's just one of those ones where everything adds up to the point where you're just thinking, hang on, things don't happen this easily normally in League One. Is this going to be one where they slip up? But I don't want to back Chesterfield at 4-1. If there was something like 7s or 8s, then you might go, okay, well, maybe I could look at some pro Chesterfield market, but at the end of the day, Sheffield United should be winning this and winning it comfortably, and everything points to that.
Yeah, there is another market that I've just got to bring up here, and I did sort of do a drive-by mention of it a moment ago, which is late goals in Chesterfield games this season. So if I go to Chesterfield's very first league game of the season, away at Oxford United, 76th minute, Chet Evans, so that's one. Their 3-1 win against Swindon Town, there was an 88th minute goal there, that's two. Their 2-0 victory over Walsall, there was a 75th and a 79th, so that's three. So that's three out of three games. It landed against Shrewsbury to make it 4 out of 4. It didn't land against Millwall, where it was all done pretty simply, but it did land against Wimbledon. So we're at, 5 from 6, aren't we? It didn't land against Oldham, so 5 from 7. It didn't land against Northampton, but again and again, since this bad run started, it's been late losses. 87th minute to Tom Pope. 90th minute, Gillingham equaliser. You know, that was there. The last five games for Chesterfield, late goals conceded. You know, this is a big, big issue for them. You know, Mantum scored late for Scunthorpe. Novak won it in the last minute for, 86th minute, 81st minute for Rose. The fitness of Chesterfield's players has been roundly questioned by their fans this season. Late goals have been a big feature. So 76 minutes of full time, I'm annoyed because it was even money this morning. It's 10 to 11, your choice now. But 10 to 11 tends to be the price. It might have been a Rick on the website, to be honest, because 10 to 11, yes, no, does tend to be the price for that. But that would be another big one worth mentioning, because Chesterfield, I'm afraid to say, they late on, whether it's concentration or whether it's fitness, there is goals conceded at that point.
Okay.
I mean, there is a market for that, isn't there, of course? Now I think about it. Sheffield United goals, 76 minutes of full-time, yes, at 13-8.
Big price, isn't it?
Yeah. Well worth considering.
And also one to look at in play as well. If you are having a bet in play on that game, certainly could be one that, if there hasn't been a goal after maybe, I don't know, 82 minutes, you could still have a look and get a bigger price. So definitely something to ponder. Right, what's your nap this weekend, Pete Farries?
Well, I won a nap last weekend,
you
Alex.
You did a winning nap. Well
done. I did a winning nap, and I've got so the whole thing was very pleasant. The nap of the week for me really in the end has come down to Chesterfield losing that game to Sheffield United. Not that I get any great joy of saying that. I can still make some money off it though. You know, just because I don't like it doesn't mean I don't have to make some money off it. So it came down to one of three markets in that game. It came down to the 4-6 for Sheffield United on the outrights, but then, yeah, a bit short. It came down to the minus one at 17-10, and it came down to the match goal, 76 minutes of full-time. And in the end, I went with the match goal, 76 minutes of full-time. It's a big, big trend in Chesterfield games this season. They I'm afraid, aren't showcasing it late on, and therefore that 10-11, yes, is going to be what it is. It won't be a huge lander should it land, but I think it's probably the best bet of those three TV games.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you very much, Pete. Gav and Al on the way now. Gav with all the best bets in League One in the 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday. And then Al with his best bets in League Two 3 p.m. kickoffs. But I say that, he's also thrown a 1 p.m. kickoff in there as well. So do get your bets on early if you want to get involved with Al's treble on Saturday. Thank you, Pete Farries.
Cheers, mate. Thanks. Good luck, everyone.
Here's Gav and Al, and we'll be back next week with a non-international break league podcast.
Hooray!
That is to say that the Championship will be back next week. Normal service resumed, and here's Gav Pushalovsky.
League One football is back, and I'm going for my three best shouts this weekend. And I'm focusing on three teams all away from home, all at big prices, all better than their opponents. I'm starting with Bristol Rovers at 12-5. It's just way too big to win at Millwall, who are 21-20. Even draw no bet on Bristol Rovers is a big play at 6-4. Bristol Rovers, they're flying high in the league at the moment. Millwall have won at home versus Fleetwood last time out. It's their first win at home in five. Millwall have kept no clean sheet in six at home. Bristol Rovers have scored in all but one of their away games this season, and they've actually scored eight in their last three away. All the stats back up that Bristol Rovers are a big play away at Millwall. Matty Taylor is 6-5 anytime. He's got 5-5. And somebody else I like as well is Charlie Colquitt, who's got 2-3 away from home. He's 18-5 anytime. But quite simply, Bristol Rovers flying high in League One, Millwall struggling. I can tell you that I do fancy Bristol Rovers to win at 12-5, but drawing a bet at 6-4 is a big play. My second bet is also my Knapp selection, and Wimbledon are just way, way, way too big to win away at Oldham. Oldham are 7-4, Wimbledon are 13-8, and the stats again back up Wimbledon has been way too big. Oldham are 22nd, have got 15 points this season. Wimbledon are 9th, they've got 23 points. Oldham have taken 4 points from the last 15 available at home. Wimbledon have taken 13 points from the last 15 available away from home. Oldham have scored 2 goals in 5 games at home. Wimbledon have scored 10 goals in 5 games away from home. All adds up to Wimbledon just being way too big. Wimbledon draw no bet 10-11 is nice as well. Scorers for Wimbledon, have a look at these guys. Tom Elliott, 2-3 away. He's 12-5 anytime for Wimbledon. Lyle Taylor, 2-4 away from home. 2-1 anytime. And this is a belter. Jonathan Meads, the defender, 2 goals in 4 away games for Wimbledon. He's 19-2 anytime. But I'm going for Wimbledon as my Knapp selection at 13-8 to beat Oldham, who are struggling this season. And my third and final bet is Walsall, who are 16-5, way too big away at MK Dons, who are 17-20. Why on earth are MK Dons 17-20 to win at home? Okay, they've sacked Carl Robinson. And MK Dons are much better away from home than at home. Conceded 3 in 3 of the last 4 games at home. Even conceded 2 at home to Spennymoor in the FA Cup. MK Dons have 2 points from 15 available at home. Walsall unbeaten in 4 on the road. So I'm actually going for draw no bet at 21-10 on Walsall. 21-10, over 2-1 for draw no bet on Walsall away at MK Dons, whose home form is very poor. That is far, far, far too big. Also, goal scorer for Walsall, Erhun Otzuma, 3 goals in 2 league games, including a brace last time Walsall played away at Swindon. 13-8 any time, but I'm going for draw no bet Walsall at 21-10, which is too big to win away at MK Dons. My League One acca is the biggest I've put up so far this season. It is Bristol Rovers at Millwall at 12-5, although 6-4 draw no bet is a play. Wimbledon 13-8 at Oldham, which is my Knapp selection, and Walsall draw no bet at MK Dons 21-10. Of course, if Walsall draw, then it will just end up being a double between Bristol Rovers and Wimbledon. But that treble is just over 26-1.
If a well keeps on giving, keep going back. That's my motto. The big winners week after week for us at the moment are Plymouth, another win last week, making it 13 in 15 outside of the EFL Trophy. They are a crew who beat a Leighton Orient side that are in even worse form than they are a few weeks ago. That's their only win in 10 matches. They've lost their last 3 at home as well, the last of which was their first team against the reserve side of League One relegation fodder Chesterfield in the EFL Trophy on Tuesday. So that's how good Plymouth are, that's how bad Crewe are. Plymouth are 13-10. It would be hilarious if it wasn't so profitable. Both teams have scored in Plymouth's last five league games and five of the last seven for Crewe, so why not hop back on the Plymouth and both teams to score bus? That's 16-5. It landed as a 9-2 single last week. Of course, as did Sheffield United at 10-1 to put five or more past Leighton Orient. And as I mentioned, Orient the only team that Crewe have been able to beat in the last 10. This week, they are at a Colchester side who look equally out of sorts, but they're not. Three defeats in five for Colchester. Those were away at Carlisle, away at Doncaster and away at Plymouth. In other words, at the home of League Two's top three clubs. The interim home draws are nothing to crow about, but how do Leighton Orient recover from shipping six at Bramall Lane last week? My guess is they don't. 1-1, drawn 1, lost 9 in the last 2 months, scoring just 5 in all of that time, 3 of which came in a 16-minute spell at Hartlepool. Even in Colchester's poor run of form, goals for them have not been a problem. They have scored in 10 of their 13 since the start of September, and two of those blanks came away at Plymouth and away at Carlisle, two of those big three. They might be 18th in the table, but no one outside the top five has scored more home goals than Colchester. They should outplay Orient. Even if they don't, they'll outscore them. Another crazy odds against price of 5-4 on the outright. But Colchester are also 29-20 on the race to two goals market. That's much better than the near evens just to score two or more. They're 15-4 in the race to three goals, and another 10-1 is available this week on Colchester to score over 3.5 goals. Like last week with Sheffield United, not an absurd price against this Orient side. And finally this week, it's the only side in the top seven tiers of English football not to have lost a match in 90 minutes in any competition this season, and they're near even money to beat the side who are bottom of the table. Carlisle United have won their last seven without blinking, scoring 20, conceding 7. Newport under Graham Wesley are unbeaten in 4, but with no disrespect intended. A draw against out-of-form Barnet at home, a win over Wimbledon's reserves in the trophy, and a draw against non-league Alfreton are very different to having Carlisle come for a kickabout. 10-11 is ripe acca fodder. Carlisle, Colchester, and what has to be the nap, despite being the biggest price of the three this week, Plymouth. That is 8.88-1 as a treble.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.